You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio in the Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day. Man, Abe and Bo both let me down.
There we go.
It's Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. The NBA draft is upon us this evening as well. Good morning to you, Abe. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm over here perusing NFL lifespans.
Yeah, we had a really just an argument that only can take place with Randy not here, because Randy just would have said, who the hell cares? And then we would have moved on, which is good. It's really good to have a quality control person on staff like that. But he's not here this week. Randy's on vacation. He'll be back on Monday, and Abe's filling in for him. And so that means Abe and I saw the report from Buster Olney that Marcell Ozuna has been mentioned in trade rumors, that other teams are interested in Ozuna. Makes sense. I would have imagined if the Braves continued in the direction they were in, and maybe they still are in. I don't know. We're in the afterglow now of two straight wins over the Mets, so maybe it's were. That Chris Sale might have been mentioned in that as well, like veterans that you could get a lot for back at the deadline. But anyway, there was an interesting provision in the baseball collective bargaining agreement that allows players that have been in the league for 10 years and on the same team for 5 years to have essentially a no-trade clause, the 10-5 rule. I said, man, I wonder how many guys in the NFL would qualify for that rule. And Abe said, probably more than you think. And I said, I don't think so. I don't think it would be very many. And Abe said, I bet you there's more than 10. And I said, I bet you there's not. And I haven't seen Abe or heard from him since.
Well, first off,
Abe has been on the internet trying to find out how many there are ever since then. I don't know. Like, the point of it is this. Like, first of all, that's a really cool thing that baseball players have in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Like, well done in terms of negotiating that into the CBA. The NFL and the NBA wouldn't even consider doing it, but also it wouldn't really matter all that much these days, especially in the NBA with how much guys move and in the NFL with how short careers tend to be. That is neither here nor there. Hopefully the Atlanta Hawks can draft a guy tonight who plays for them for the next 10 years and makes a big impact on the organization and fills a need. They made a big trade last night, though. And this is an interesting one because I feel like in this day and age in the NBA, when guys like Kristaps Porzingis get traded, there was some rumblings. I didn't hear anything about this. Like, there was kind of no rumors beyond the fact that the Celtics were going to have to get from underneath a lot of these contracts. They traded Drew Holiday the other day. They traded Porzingis to the Hawks last night. And, I understand. I've seen a lot of different reactions to it. And I understand the concern about the health, obviously. That's like the main thing with Kristaps Porzingis. But I'll be honest, I like it. I like the move. I like the risk. I think it's worth the risk. And just a kind of a big surprising move last night from the Hawks.
It was, and you knew that Boston was going to move more. It wasn't just going to be Jrue Holiday. I think we understood that. The interesting thing to me was the timeline between when the Hawks seemingly got first attached as serious suitors and the timeline where it's like, oh, there's like a deal now. Like, it was like 20 minutes from when rumors and then like here's the deal. I like it. I like it a lot. I like the activity. I'm very comfortable with the package that you sent out. Because that was my first thought, was like, all right, Porzingis, I'm a fan already. I'm not going to get excited until I see what the deal is. Because you know me, as soon as I hear about it, I'm on Twitter. I somehow ended up on Celtics Twitter. Mm. And they're like, Dyson Daniels, come on down. I was like, there's no way.
No.
No. They're like, double O, welcome to Boston. I'm like, come on, can't be.
No, no.
So I had to reserve judgment for like 20 minutes.
The Celtics are just doing some housekeeping as far as salary cap stuff goes.
Well, this got it done for them.
Yeah, for sure.
They may slow it down. They may, yeah. I know some people are talking about Derek White. And
it's actually kind of amazing that they were able to take care of it in two trades.
Like immediately.
With all of the
36 hours.
Yeah, 36 hours to move on from Jrue Holiday and get Simons in return. I know it's a contract year, an expiring year for Simons, but I think that's an interesting trade for them, at least in a year where it's probably going to be pretty tough without Tatum next year. And look, I don't know, Terrence Mann and George Niang obviously were guys that were acquired last year at the deadline. I know they weren't acquired in the same trade. Mann was acquired in the Bogey trade with the Clippers, and Yang was the DeAndre Hunter trade. But I mean, if you're telling me that you're getting Porzingis back essentially for DeAndre Hunter and the number 22 pick, like that's fine. That's totally fine with me. Again, it's a 1 year deal. It's the end of his contract, which also means it's a contract year. And if you look at Porzingis's career, best year he ever had was that year in Washington when he was in a contract year and he knew that if he balled out, somebody was going to come knocking. It was the Celtics, and he got a fairly big contract. Same thing is true this year. Like, if Kristaps Porzingis plays really well, somebody's going to pay him a lot of money next summer. Maybe it'll be the Hawks. Maybe it'll be the Hawks. If he plays terrible, obviously this goes awful and you move on from him anyway.
Right.
This to me feels, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out like the scenario in which Kristaps Porzingis, it works and he's a Hawk long term. I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that one, but that's down the road. And that would be a good problem because that would mean he played so well. But it fills a need. Like the main thing that they needed to address this offseason was a stretch big who could shoot the ball. And Porzingis shoots 40% from three. I mean, he's the stretchest big that there is in the NBA. Now, he doesn't play all the time.
Well, and that's,
he doesn't play all the time.
Where
and
we're
that's a major concern for sure.
I'd like the risk. I like the chance. I like the gamble. And I was really frustrated, if we're going to be honest, last night at the reaction from a lot of Hawks fans who got in my mentions that are just like, way to go, traded for a guy that's going to be here 20 games. And I understand.
That's possible.
No, I understand that aspect of it, but I'm not going into this with that mindset. Like, the immediate negativity of all of it. And it's funny because my first comment, which would be regarding a guy that actually is hurt right now, would be like, if that's the mindset, you never bring Chris Sale here.
Right.
Like, I can't not make a move because a guy has a injury history that's of a little bit diciness. And different injuries. I'm always more open when it's a different injury than when it's the same injury that keeps. I just think there's different angles to that.
It's interesting that you bring up that name, Sale, because I was trying to think of a way to rationalize it, and that's one that came to me a little bit, too.
It immediately popped up.
Yeah, it's just like, look, you have to bet on the upside in order to get a guy like that. Like, a guy as talented as Kristaps Porzingis doesn't just become available for no reason, right? Like, you might find him in free agency after that great year in Washington and throw a bunch of money at him and bring him up. The reason, I mean, the Celtics need to get out from underneath the threshold, but also the reason that he's available to you is because he hasn't been available to them at all times. It was the same thing with Sale is the one that comes to mind because we're here, but like, this is what we go back to when we would have the Zion Williamson discussions or other like guys that the Hawks maybe need to consider taking a flyer on, that have had an injury history. Like, you can't do two things at once, which is complain that the Hawks never get anyone here, while also then being mad that when they get someone here, the guy's risky.
Yeah,
of course the guy's risky. That's why he was available.
But at the same time, to the points you've already brought up, it's not that big of a risk, because if it's a disaster, it's over after a year. You moved on from the man contract, which certainly helps out the franchise anyways. You're talking about giving up 22, which is a crapshoot. It's not a huge risk if it fails horrifically, and I think there could be some real reward on the other side of this. The other thing I thought of last night, which I think you would appreciate, and we haven't really done one of these topics or discussion points in a long time. It's not on the rundown.
Is it a Mount Rushmore?
It's not a Mount Rushmore.
Oh, okay.
In terms of Atlanta sports next season,
okay,
which unicorn is more impactful?
Oh, God.
Kyle Pitts.
I did think about Chris the fact that was what they called him when he came in. And I was like, we've had enough of unicorns
around here. I know. It's not a real topic, but it's still funny.
I'm glad you brought that up because that did cross my mind last night. I was like, God, we should have known when we even thought about calling Kyle Pitts that the last guy who was that did not live up to it, obviously. Like, and you know, he's had a nice career after what happened in New York, the big injury and all of that. But like, in no way is he the guy that he was billed to be when he got to the Knicks.
But let's get into that for a second.
Yeah.
Because he comes here to Atlanta, and let's just project that these injury discussions aren't being had in regards to either him, Porzingis, or Jalen Johnson. Mm-hmm. What are you asking from Porzingis? What are you looking for from Porzingis? Is he option number two? Is he option number three, or like kind of tied with Risacher as three? Is he behind Risacher, option four, and you play some good defense, and when your shot comes, it comes? Like, what do you envision him fitting in terms of, if you can, a pecking order?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be really hard just because, you know, obviously with the guys that are already here and assuming health, having Jalen Johnson on the floor and all that, like, now I do think that the role that Porzingis plays in terms of spacing the floor and being the pick and roll partner for Trey helps those other guys. Mm-hmm. Like, Porzingis' range is like 30 feet. Like, he can stretch the defense more than almost any big in basketball, just with how far he can, he's good from the rim. I think it depends on the night, and I think it depends on the lineup, and I also think it depends on availability. I know you said assuming health, but like, it's going to be hard if you start getting into a rhythm where it's like, yeah, like, we're counting on Kristaps Porzingis for like 19 points a night, which is not crazy. Like, you look at his career averages, he's right around there.
Yeah.
Like, even in Boston, when he clearly was the three option, like, best case at times, he's still scoring 20 points a game. So I think that's totally reasonable.
And is he your starting center? And what does that mean for Okongwu?
Definitely is.
So is Okongwu big man off the bench?
Yeah. Which has always been Onyeka Okongwu's best role.
Agreed.
To me.
Yeah.
Like, he's an awesome player, and he's really versatile, and he's really nice to have for kind of a variety of different things. But the one thing clearly that he isn't, and I know he tried to develop it, and that's fine. Like, it's sometimes guys just aren't going to be certain things. Like, I know he tried to develop a 3-point shot and he got better at it, but he's just never going to be that. He's not what Porzingis is, or guys that can really stretch the defense that way. So, I mean, he's still going to play a lot of minutes, Okongwu is, but no, I mean, if everyone's healthy, all things equal, starting the season next year, you have your starting five right now.
You got Trey, Dyson, Jalen,
Risacher, yeah,
and then Porzingis.
Yeah, that's five.
Yeah.
And that's a five that can score. That's a fun five.
Yeah.
And Porzingis fits great with Trey, like, in terms of what they want to do in the pick and roll and being able to stretch the defense. So, yeah, I mean, again,
I was amped up.
That's all under the presumption, which is a scary and dangerous one to make, that he's going to be available. Because it's not just been injuries, you know, like a weird sickness last year at the end of the year that he couldn't get over. Remember, like, he was
they had the weird setback in the playoffs.
He was available in the playoffs, but then he couldn't even like play five consecutive minutes because he had no stamina because of the illness that he had been dealing with. So, like, yeah, like, when we look at it in a vacuum with rose-colored glasses, it's like, it's perfect. He fits with him, and he stretches the floor, and he develops this guy, and he, yeah, if he's available, you know. And if that's your immediate reaction to it, I don't blame you. The guy's missed like half the games he was available for the last couple of years.
I don't blame you. If that's the approach you want to take, take it. I'm not going to try and talk you away from that, but like, it's also okay for me to be a little optimistic, like the deal, and also view it as pretty low risk.
Well, I look at it both ways, but it's a risk that a team like the Hawks have to take in order to get a guy like this.
Especially when we've talked all week about how wide open the East is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think they got better yesterday. That's for sure. I think they're a better basketball team right now than when we signed off the air yesterday. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show. The Braves did beat the Mets again. We'll talk about that as well right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Epic views. Waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Olsen lines it out into right center. Two will score. Atlanta has played in five of the six to grab the lead.
It's been really, really good what he's done. I mean, I just look at, you know, how he ended up last year and had a slow start, went through some tough times, but ended up having a really good, really good year. And he's putting together another really good year this year and then plays gold glove defense.
Yeah, Matt Olson with the big hit last night in the fifth inning to give the Braves a 5-3 lead. I'll be honest with you, the first five innings of that game just kind of looked like one of those nights for the Braves offense, didn't it? It's like a lot of like mediocre at bats, and even Acuna was, I think he struck out a couple times in the first five innings.
Yeah, Montas just had him a little puzzled.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, maybe tonight, because Strider was mostly good and then got into a bit of trouble in the fourth and then bounced back in the fifth and looked good. But it just kind of felt like one of those nights where they just weren't going to get anything going, and that was that. And then they started walking everybody. And
yeah,
that's one thing that the Mets do, man. They love to walk.
Boy,
people.
That one guy that comes in just
this is his job.
The other day here in Atlanta, the other day here in Atlanta, just loading up bases. Yeah. Last night, just and I. By the way, I thought it was going to be another one of those situations where we're like,
yep,
bases loaded, none out, and you scored one time.
Ozzie Albies with the sack fly, and it was like, at least it was a sack fly.
That's
where my expectations are for Ozzie right now. At least it was deep enough to score the run from third.
Right. Couple of things on that one. It did. I agree with you. It felt like last night we were going to have to come in and be like, Strider was okay, but if he's going to give up three runs and your offense does that, you just can't win. And I'm glad there's still – we talked about Strider and saving the bullpen for Strider's start. I think we saw that again yesterday.
Luckily they did.
The pitch count gets up there. But eight strikeouts, four walks, a little bit abnormal for him.
I think he probably would have pitched the sixth inning also had the top of the sixth not taken 40 minutes. Because the Braves scored all those runs, and you know he probably would have, because he was only at 91 pitches, but he just sit down for all that time. So Probably would have gone one more. And
yeah, and if you come out of that 3-3 instead of, what was it, 5-3, maybe that would send him back out there too. I agree with you. It was nice to see some of the clutch hitting.
And I think Matt had a big one, obviously.
Thank you.
Well,
Snit.
Here's the other question.
Did you hear the answer that Snit gave? Just sorry to derail, because it sounded like you were going to make a really important point.
Super point.
Put a pin in it, and we'll get back to it. I'm going to make an unimportant point. That audio clip that we just played with Snit, doesn't he sound just like Fricky when he starts it? Just play the first second of it.
It's been really, really good.
There you go. Just kind of
a little bit.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Now go on.
I don't care if it's Murphy or Baldwin. I think you're now stuck with Matt Olson in the two hole. I think he's on too good of a heater that you're just not separating him and Acuna right now.
Yeah, I like that.
And maybe Baldwin slides three and Riley four. I don't care how else you manage it. I just don't see Baldwin or Verdugo or whoever else is hit there in the two hole right now. I think Olson coming up to back up Acuna when he failed a couple times last night. That was massively important.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about Acuna and how good he's been. Olson very quietly has been very good.
Yep.
I think he has the longest active on base streak in all of Major League Baseball. 24 games.
I thought it was 26, but you might
maybe
be right.
It is somewhere in the mid 20s. And then obviously, just like we had talked about yesterday, can we get Acuna up in some of these spots?
Yeah.
He did, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, he actually didn't have in terms of putting the bat to the ball, great night last night. Still did get on base twice with two walks.
And had a stolen base, if I recall. Uh-huh. But because it was Olson there to back him up, the Acuna, I don't want to say failures. Like, guys are allowed to not get it done every single time, right?
Ronald Acuna's not.
But you and I were talking yesterday. It was just Acuna, and then we have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Olson came into the game yesterday and gave the offense a little hope Acuna let him down.
Yeah, that's right. And it's nice to see him getting those clutch hits again. He is, after a kind of a slow start. He's on pace for another 300 season.
Yeah, and then even Riley later in the game had a big hit, too.
Yep. It was also really nice to see Nick Allen at the bottom of the lineup, and we were just asking for him, Harris,
Verdugo. Loves him
Verdugo,
a blue, doesn't he?
Any of those guys just to provide something. And, yeah, I mean, 3-for-4 yesterday. I don't know that he hit any of them hard, but it's all right. He had an RBI as well.
And then he kind of fisted one out there.
Yeah, that's kind of right. his main style of hit. What would you say, Nick? Oh, he's a good defensive player, and then he might fist you one or two a week. And that's kind of what we have to go with.
A lot of singles, 180 feet and in.
The punch and Judy was a term that we used to use as a kid. I don't know if that's... I don't know if there's anything wrong with saying that, but that's what we would call little bloop singles that you would get. He's kind of one of those types of hitters. But you know what? If he goes 3-for-4 and gets on base and drives in a run like he did last night, we will take it. My other favorite part of the night was, and this is back-to-back nights where one of my favorite parts of the night was someone getting the best of Juan Soto.
Oh, okay.
Spencer Strider striking out Juan Soto. And I mean, it was, you know, it was on the corner. It was a strike. It was clearly a strike. And Soto kind of diving out of the way and then complaining to the umpire. And then Strider telling him, come on. It was right down the middle. Stop all the theatrics. Fantastic. I like the idea of those two guys developing a little bit of a rivalry.
I like the idea of what's going on in the Mets fandom. Because there was some
By the way, they've lost 10 out of 11 games.
They're in a full panic mode despite being, I don't know, 12 games up?
It's crazy.
10 games up on the wall.
Oh, yeah, that guy. What's that guy's name again? The fat guy that works for Barstool?
Well, he was at it again last night.
Yeah, well, of course he is.
I don't know if you guys saw the video. He was at it again last night.
And we're good.
It's just embarrassing.
Frank the Tank. That's right. We're good, though, right? We don't have to.
No. Okay. No, it's embarrassing. I'd like to think Braves fans, if we were up 10 games, even in the midst of a free fall, wouldn't be panicking like that.
Yeah, but I think, though, like...
They can't get it...
It's an act now, right? Like
no, I think they legitimately can't get act collapses out of their head.
Well, and I don't blame them for that because they always do it. Like they're one of the chokiest organizations in sports, and they'll probably do that again this year. I'm not saying the Braves are going to catch them because the Braves dug such a huge hole, but the Braves have beat them 5 times this year. They've already won. When we talk about this 7-game stretch they had against them, they've already won it. They're 5-0.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully, they sweep them all the way and go 7-0 in this stretch. That would be incredible. But yeah, like the Braves own the Mets. There's even in years like this where the Braves are very clearly flawed and very clearly frustrating. They own them. They just do.
You want my favorite nugget from yesterday?
Who?
Back-to-back saves.
Yeah. After going 31 games without one, you go back-to-back. Now, I'll say this.
No, well, we don't have to talk about that part.
I think we do, though, okay. Because it wasn't entirely his fault. De Los Santos wasn't great either. Like, De Los Santos left
but no,
the guys
it's
on
it's De Los Santos' fault. Yeah. It's not an Iglesias thing.
Well, I mean, Iglesias did also come in and throw fire on it. And then there was second and third, right?
And bro, that tying run coming to the plate.
It's not great. And I saw even you tweet about it, and you said, I know what you were thinking. You were thinking it too, Bo. I know you were.
I was not thinking that.
I know you're the most optimistic Iglesias guy out there.
Please no, please no, please don't tie this game right now.
We were all thinking it because it's happened a million times. It's tough. Who's the pitcher out of the bullpen that makes you feel least queasy currently? Is it Dylan Lee?
Yeah. Honestly, Pierce Dylan Johnson? Dodd's been very good recently.
Yeah.
Dylan Dodd's been great. Uh-huh. Pierce Johnson, Dylan Lee. Pierce has a blow-up game here or there.
Had a couple.
Dylan Lee will here or there.
Uh-huh.
And same with Dodd. But, like, yeah.
Well, who is it?
The two Dylans and Pierce.
Okay.
It's got to be matchup. It's
all
be,
matchups.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all 100%. Matchups.
Can I let you know what part of the order?
It's Dylan Lee.
Also, how about, you know, not even being able to take Iggy out to face a left-handed Lindor because he has to face three batters.
Right, you had to leave him in. I love that rule, by the way. I love, you know what?
Yeah.
Deal with it.
It definitely helped the Braves when that guy couldn't find the strike zone yesterday.
Yeah, when they had to leave Brazelton or Brazoban or whatever his name is in the game for three batters.
I'm just sitting there like, they can't take him out. They got to watch him walk another guy.
He threw 24 pitches and only 11 of them were strikes. That's insane. He threw 13 balls in 24 pitches. All right, we'll get more into this in the next segment, but I just, you know, it's the NBA draft tonight. Now, the Hawks only have the 13th pick. They traded the 22nd pick along with some of the other stuff that they moved to get Kristaps Porzingis yesterday, the other stuff being George Niang and Terrence Mann. So they only have the 13th pick tonight, which makes our job easier. Now we only have to talk about who might be there at 13.
Yeah.
Because once you get past 13, it's like, all right.
Honestly, it's a crapshoot at 13.
Am I really going to watch a YouTube video of a guy from Serbia so I can pretend to know about him for 14 minutes on a Wednesday and then they don't take him? Nah, I'm not going to do that.
Well, no, you'd wait till they draft him and then watch the video and then pretend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now I can just talk about the guys that I actually like that I want them to take at 13. And there's a handful of them, and we'll get there in a few minutes.
How much video did you watch last year of Sar and Ricochet?
Because we did the show. We did the draft show.
Oh, right.
So I watched video on, God, I don't know, so many guys.
Really?
I was grinding tape.
Not just two guys?
Grinding tape.
Down to two guys.
No, but I liked other guys better. I was like, I don't want them to take these guys.
How much Dillingham did you watch?
I love Rob Dillingham. Yeah. He was my second favorite guy in the draft.
Is he in the G League?
He didn't play much.
Yeah,
he's on the Wolves.
I think they sent him to the G League because like his play time, development, whatever.
Steph Castle was my favorite guy in the draft, and he was a rookie of the year, so I was about that.
Should have been second, but that's all right.
Well, he was.
I know.
He won it.
I know.
Anyway, we'll come back. We'll talk about the draft. Hawks have the 13th pick tonight. Look, we know who's going number one. We know who's going number two. Friend of the program, Brian Scalabrine, said some really nice things about Cooper Flagg. Also, we're going to see something happen for the first time since 1977 tonight. You know I'm happy about it. We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Out here, we feel things, the sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors, with more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day. Hour number one of the program brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. And I've said this talking about golf and Bobby Jones yesterday. I'll say the same thing today. If you're playing golf today, God bless you. You really love it because it is just scorching out there to the point where we have we have bonding events and stuff throughout the year here at Odyssey Atlanta, all the different radio stations that are in the building. One of the things that we were going to do was supposed to take place this afternoon. It was going to be a kickball game, which sounds really fun. That's a fun time with your coworkers. Canceled. Too hot, which good call. Like there's no need for, I don't know who the most likely one is, but we don't need anybody falling out over kickball, and heat exhaustion. So they're moving it inside. We're going to have just a little fun not meet and greet, just a fun little hangout session this afternoon. But I know that there are people that listen that have no choice but to be out there. It's your job to whatever it is that you're working. Just, you know what to do. Hydrate and all that stuff. But good luck, because it's crazy out there.
Do you have like a good, like, how to stay cool hack in the summer? Do you have any of those?
Not really. I mean, you know, beyond don't go outside.
Yeah.
But like if you have to, no. I mean,
I don't know. You know how some people will do the like freeze a rag and then, you know, pop that on your neck for a couple minutes at a time, or I don't know.
Really, all that has happened, because I've never had to deal with this until I moved here. Like, yeah. This doesn't happen really. Like, maybe one day a year, maybe you might get this, but it's nothing, you know, it's so much more common. My first summer here, I would do the thing that I tried to do when I lived in other cities that didn't get hot like this, where it's like, well, just avoid being outside, get inside as fast as possible, and, you know, bring an extra shirt or whatever. But like midway through the summer, I was like, everybody's sweaty. Like everyone gets it. Everyone knows it's 96 degrees outside with all the humidity. Everyone's in the same boat. And that's what we had the wedding over the weekend, and a lot of folks, it was obviously very hot on Saturday. People were talking about, what are you going to do? It's like, you're not going to do anything. You're going to sweat. And everyone's going to sweat, and don't feel self-conscious about it, because the person next to you is going to be sweaty too. We'll just try to get in the shade and under a fan as soon as possible, but there's nothing you can do. And I'm a sweaty guy. I'm a sweater. You know that about me.
Sure.
People know. I don't know if I have hyperhidrosis or anything like that, but I sweat. There's nothing you can do. You're just going to be sweaty. I guess bring a sweat rag. But, I mean, that thing's going to be useless after 45 minutes, if you're me.
Get a bigger sweat rag. It'll last an hour.
Or
and a
bring
half.
Extras, I
Just
guess.
The whole towel.
Bring extras. Anyway, be safe out there. All right, so We'll talk some NBA draft in just a minute. If you're just joining us or if you haven't heard yet somehow, the Hawks made a move last night. They traded George Niang, who was, you know, he was a bit of a favorite of mine. That's all right. And Terrence Mann, as well as the number 22 pick tonight. So their later first round pick tonight, and a second round pick down the road next year or something right? To get back Kristaps Porzingis and a second round pick next year. So they get the Celtics' worst possible second rounder from next year in like a pick swap situation. But they get Kristaps Porzingis back, who is a stretch big, which is exactly what this team needs. And what we had spent, you know, some time talking about how they could go out in free agency and add someone. I know we had talked about Naz Reid or if Miles Turner would be available. Kristaps Porzingis had never even entered my radar. I hadn't even thought about it. Now, maybe we should have just because we knew the Celtics were going to have to sell to get underneath the luxury tax. But I, you know, we talked a lot about it in the first segment. I get it. I like it. I understand the concern that a lot of Hawks fans have.
Yeah.
But if he's healthy, this is going to be a really, really nice move for them next year.
Let me ask you about something I put out on social media last night, and that is that I don't think this is the only move the Hawks are making.
No.
It doesn't feel like this is their offseason addition. They do the draft, and maybe there's a little bit of free agency names, some depth, blah, blah, blah. It feels like they're still looking to add some, I don't know if it would be a starter, but some serious talent to this roster.
The rumor that was out there last night, the name that was rumored last night was Nikhil Alexander.
So I heard
Walker
that one too.
From the Wolves, which would be perfect.
Yeah.
Like that's the exact type of guy the Hawks need. I mean, if someone's injured, obviously he can fill in the starting lineup. He can come off the bench. You saw what he can do defensively on the perimeter. He also had some pretty nice offensive games. Mm-hmm. In that series against OKC for the Timberwolves in the playoffs.
I think defensively it's tough to gauge because you're on SGA a lot, but he's a pretty good defender.
He is a good defender.
And the Hawks do have a mid-level exception still in play, I think.
Yeah, they do.
Don't pretend to know exactly what all those mean. They have one there. I think it helps them out financially.
It does.
That's all I know. Is that good enough?
It's good enough. Yeah. Like they have it. Hopefully they use it. That's the type of player they could use it on. Like I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm a – Mike Bell one time said he thought I was a capologist. And I was like, wow, that's a really nice compliment. I don't know why you think that. I don't know what I've ever said that would give anyone that impression, but I appreciated him saying that. I am not. I think we have a working understanding of how a lot of the financials in all of the leagues function, but it's all a lot more complicated than we understand and certainly than we make it. The point is this. They do have more room to add another guy. I'm with you. I don't think this will be it.
Yeah.
I think that they'll make a move like that or someone who's sort of in that mold, which would be great. That sort of builds out your depth, which you need. And the other thing that the Porzingis trade says to me, if there was any lingering question that you had about, at the very least, what the plan is for next year, the hope is for next year, like you don't trade for Kristaps Porzingis and then do anything with Trey. Like, Trae Young is here. And I don't know if this doesn't necessarily mean, like, long-term max extension this summer. Maybe it does. I don't know. But if there was any people still thinking that there was, a grass is greener on the other side trade that Trae would be looking for this offseason, I don't think that's happening. Like, you bring him here to play with Trae and try to win next season.
Look, right now, the Hawks have not pushed all of their chips to the middle. They have not declared all in on this next season. But they've raised. Like they've raised the stakes. Like, they're in the hand.
What would all in be? Giving Trey the max?
Yeah.
Like, signing him to the full max this offseason?
An offseason extension for Trey.
Uh-huh.
Another significant name, potentially NAW or I've seen Boston maybe still offloading guys. Derek White as a potential.
Oh, Nikhil Alexander Walker. I was like, who's NAW?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Sorry.
Got it. All right.
Social media.
Threw me off.
I was shortening things up.
Got it.
And you and I were just like kind of loosely, we don't have to go in depth, but like, I know the Kings are apparently chopping Domantas Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that guy's an all-star. Like, making another significant addition.
When healthy.
Well, we're already saying that about one or two guys on this team.
I'm asking. I'm prefacing that to ask this. When healthy, who would you rather have starting for your team, Domantas Sabonis or Kristaps Porzingis?
I personally...
Because I would rather have Porzingis.
Yeah, and I'm on the other side of this.
When healthy.
I'm on the other side of this. Only because, and if we're going to play the when healthy game, like, I'm also going to play that for Jalen Johnson.
Okay.
And I just think that Porzingis' offense takes a little bit of a backseat to Jalen Johnson's offense. And in that case, I'm very comfortable with Sabonis just pounding out 14 and 14 every night.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely, there's no threat of him being the, like, the focal point. Ever.
No,
like DeMontis
no.
Sabonis is always going to be, he's a, obviously a very nice player, but like he's never going to be the guy who gets on a crazy heater and
no,
you have
but
to feed him. Porzingis is. Porzingis can do that.
On a certain, yeah.
Yeah.
On a given night. But now the question is, as Richey continues to develop and his offense has come a lot further along than his defense and rebounding and other aspects of his game, you know, what do we need Porzingis? And this goes back to the question I asked you in the first segment. Like, in an ideal world, what sort of – and again, you're right. On a given night, he may be your two option because you just got the hot hand.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
If Porzingis is healthy next year and plays, I don't know, what's an optimistic number for him to play next year? 65 games?
I was going to bump it up a little bit. Yeah, I was going to say 70.
If he plays 70 games, he's going to average 19 or 20 points a game.
Totally agree.
Like, he's averaged that almost every single year of his career. And then again, like, I know it's a different situation because Washington's terrible. But the only time he's ever really been in, like a full-blown prove-it contract year was that year with the Wizards. And he scored 23.5 points a game. Like,
yeah.
He was – and shot, like, 40% from the floor. He was really, really good that year. There was games – you probably remember him – where he just destroyed the Hawks. Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, great. Porzingis is back.
By the way, he's destroyed the Hawks with like five different teams.
Yeah.
He destroyed the Hawks with the Knicks.
Yes.
Remember he destroyed the Hawks with the Mavericks?
Uh-huh. And he was bad for the Mavericks.
Yeah, but he killed us.
Yes, he did.
And then he destroyed the Hawks with the Celtics. And then, yeah.
Yep. It's like all those quarterbacks that killed the Falcons. It's like it happens, you know.
None of those guys were described as unicorns.
No, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're great players or anything like that.
Most of them were described as unexpected starter.
Yeah. Oh, third string quarterback called in because of injury starting on Sunday.
Jaren Hall leads near touchdown drive, replaced by Josh Dobbs, who leads four more.
Yeah. All right. So the draft is tonight. We'll talk about what we think the Hawks might do, hope they do, guys you like, whatever. I mean, the NBA draft is such a different beast than the NFL draft, where once you get past a handful of guys, like the average person is just not going to be that familiar with these people. There are some guys that are going to go mid first and even late first that you have heard of, obviously. But you know who's going first. You know who's going first overall tonight. Here's Brian Scalabrine. Friend of the show, used to join us all the time. I think Abe offended him, so he doesn't come on anymore. But here he is talking about Cooper Flagg.
LeBron James. He's just not an F1 racer. LeBron is 260, fast, 4.440, head above the rim. Cooper Flagg's not a bad athlete. He's a good athlete. He's a great athlete. LeBron's a super athlete, but they process the same. I know it's unfair, but I'll eventually be right. People will know. Like 3 years from now, they'll be like, oh, yeah, Scal said it. If he has the same longevity – I'm just giving you a comparison of what he could be, but not you can't look at 50,000 points and championships and any of that stuff. There's some variable to that. But LeBron has scored 50,000 points, doesn't have a go-to shot. I'm not sure he has a go-to shot. He's just a basketball player that makes things happen. LeBron's a freak of nature defensively. He's a freak of nature defensively. LeBron can run point. He can run point. 6'8 point guard, 6'8 point guard. Like he trends like that more than a shooting guard or a Kawhi Leonard or anything like that. And it's just, he doesn't want to say it, but that's what it's going to be.
yeah. I mean, obviously that's about as high praise as you could ever give anyone. We'll see. I think Cooper Flagg's going to be fantastic as well. I mean, if we're having that discussion 15 years from now, great for him and the Mavericks and all
for
that
Nico,
kind of stuff.
And for Nico, who still would have a job.
And Nico, who's going to have a job and all of that. I mean, who knows? There's so many guys that have come in with huge hype and not lived up to it.
That's the thing. It's an impossible comparison because one guy has done it.
Yes.
In the league.
And, yes.
And while I understand like what we see in Cooper Flagg, it's like, man, you got to do it. In the league.
The longevity thing is the thing that I can almost guarantee won't happen.
No shot.
Because LeBron's 40 and he's still one of those guys in the NBA, so that's probably unrealistic.
Well, the other thing, and I think LeBron talked about it a little bit, is you're coming into a much better situation than LeBron did.
True.
He's set up to be able to succeed without being LeBron year one LeBron. Because, and I don't know what the injury timeline is, but you have Kyrie, who just re-upped there for 3 years. They're going to be together for a couple of seasons.
Yep.
You have Anthony Davis. You don't have to be LeBron immediately.
It's a nice situation to end up in. And I think he's going to be really good. I think he's got everything you could want in a number one pick. And he'll be the first name called tonight. I think we know that Dylan Harper will be the second name called tonight. And then it kind of gets interesting after that. Like, you know, it wasn't too long ago when Ace Bailey was thought of as the pretty consensus number three. He's had a weird buildup to the draft. VJ Edgecombe, by I think most odds makers now,
seems trending that way.
Seems to be the third overall pick. And who knows, maybe the Sixers would even trade the third pick. We'll see. I think Con Knipple, the guy from Duke, he's a really nice player as well. I love Trey Johnson from Texas. Yeah. I think
he's been trending up big time too.
I think he's going to be an outstanding NBA player, just a great offensive game. And then, you know, some of these names will be said. All of those names will be said before we get to 13.
Malawak.
Malawak's a great defensive player. That would be a lot of fun. The name that I see here on the mock that I'm looking at is Yohan Berenguer, the French kid, who is also a really good defensive player. And I don't know if that's who the Hawks take at 13. I think that would be fine. He's certainly a project. Like, he probably wouldn't even play next year for you.
Maybe a Jalen Johnson route, G League first, yeah, for a year,
seems like that. He's probably a couple years.
Am I weird
away
for being like, if we're gonna take a European, like, let it be a guy Reza Shea knows, probably?
No.
Pair them up.
Yeah, get and who? Maybe they're friends, maybe they're enemies. You never know. Just because they know each other doesn't mean they're butt. You know what I mean? But yeah, that would be fine. I mean, that's a name that's been there a lot at 13.
The idea of Reza Shea having like a serious enemy is funny to me.
The two guys that I like the most, and this means nothing other than I just enjoy the way they play. Obviously, they're going to be scorers. Is a Cedric Coward from Washington State.
Yep.
Really, really fun offensive player. Also a cool story. If they draft him, we can get into his story. And then Igor Demin from BYU, the 6'9", kind of...
little skinny.
Guard?
A little skinny.
Yeah, skinny. We probably like huge bust potential, but he also has a ton of offensive game. I like him a lot, too. They'll probably both be there at 13.
Yeah, I liked Kalkbrenner, but at 22. I don't think you can take him at 13.
Yeah, that's the 7-1 center from Creighton.
Yeah, it's not at 13, though.
Yeah.
Ace Newell's going to be an interesting story to follow, too. Both of local interest for Georgia fans and for...
Oh, yeah. Are the Hawks going to be accused of being like the Falcons and not drafting Georgia players, even though the Falcons did draft a Georgia player in the first round this last year?
Yeah.
For the first time ever.
I mean, there's going to be a fan base that'll say that.
Yeah. Sure. Huh. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant. Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.